The views expressed in this program are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of WVUD or the University of Delaware.
WVUD and UD Information Technologies present Campus Voices, conversations with University of Delaware faculty, staff, and students about their teaching, research, service projects, and other interests. To introduce today's guest, here's your host, Richard Gordon, manager of the IT Communication Group at the University of Delaware.
Joining us in the studio today are two of our WVUD interns, Abby Sarfow and Bassam Khatri. Thanks for joining us.
Hi.
You had the opportunity to attend a really special event today.
Yes, we did. So today, November 18th, the university announced its next president. But before we delve into all things presidential, we would actually like to play a little farewell from Nancy Target, because we as students really, really appreciated how she embraced the student community and how she was visible and how she really handled her 150 odd days.
That's right.
It's really been my privilege to to serve the university as its acting president. And despite having been here more than 30 years, I learned a lot. I've been inspired by our students, by our faculty, and by our staff, by our collective accomplishments and dreams, and by our commitment to make things better, to make a difference. And I've recognized the pride in our institution. It's your pride in our institution, and it's a pride that I share. Those of you who are on Twitter will notice that I often use the hashtag BlueHenPride. That's not happenstance. That's purposeful.
And our new president will be?
Dennis Asanis.
Dennis Asanis was selected after more than 50 candidates were considered for the position. The Presidential Search Committee looked nationally for an accomplished scholar with experience at a major research university, as well as a vision for UD's future. President Asanis, the future president, has decades of experience in higher education, and he fits this criteria.
And just going off of that, he served as provost and senior vice president of academic affairs at Stony Brook University since 2011. And also while at Stony Brook, he emphasized interdisciplinary faculty initiatives and fostered STEM programs to keep up with the needs of the nation. He also worked to build diverse and inclusive community by supporting economically disadvantaged and underrepresented students. And actually, this idea of inclusivity is something that he kept coming back to over the course of the day. But even before joining Stony Brook, he was a professor of engineering at the University of Michigan for 17 years. So he's been in higher academia for a long time. And he's also founded many research institutes, primarily those that focus on developing clean energy vehicles.
What was your first impression of our new president, Dennis Asanis?
Well, he started his speech with a little story, and I thought it was pretty interesting and a little humorous.
I've admired the University of Delaware ever since I was a high school student in Greece, and I was contemplating studying chemical engineering. My love for the sea won me over at the time, and I went to Newcastle upon Tyne in England to study marine engineering. Who would have guessed that I would have come back full circle to Newcastle County, Delaware, as the university's next president? It's truly amazing.
He sounds like he's really got a fun sense of humor about things.
Yeah, he seems warm and genuine. He seems a little looser than Harker, maybe like in between Target and Harker. But yeah, he definitely is charismatic, very charming.
And I definitely appreciate that he's been in academia for so long. That's always a good sign when somebody who's in a managing position has been on the lower levels. I think that's a really valuable thing to have.
Yeah, so I feel like because he has this history working in higher education, he'll be like more attuned to the needs of what every level of our institution needs. And also he'll be good at grasping big picture ideas because he also has this experience working with foundations and whatnot.
That's right. Like Abby said before, he's been focusing on diversity quite a lot. And we can listen to part of his speech where he sort of emphasizes this.
Above all, we have a deep commitment to diversity, a commitment I wholeheartedly share. I view diversity as inclusive excellence, and I view diversity very broadly, from gender, race, ethnicity, religion, to socioeconomic background, sexual orientation, intellectual differences, personal preferences. That's what diversity is all about. And that's what makes the academic world move. That's what builds a great institution. Building and celebrating diversity is crucial in enabling collaboration, openness, trust, and cohesive communities. We'll all work together in making an inclusive community our number one priority.
He sounds like he's really got that diversity and inclusivity the university is longing for.
Yeah, I think it was great that he even touched on that in his speech, especially given the sort of wave of civil rights movements that you have going across college campuses. It's very relevant, and it shows that he's not tone deaf to the particular needs of students here in terms of diversity.
We actually were really interested in that, and after the speech, we were able to ask him a question about diversity, and this was his answer.
Well, first, I do want to be very inclusive, and I want to reach out to the campus community, the students, the faculty, the staff, everybody, and the prospective students, our pipelines of students, and the alumni, to build that community. I want to listen to the voice of the community first before I discuss specific plans. I know that the campus under Dean, now acting president Target, has been initiating a lot of plans, a diversity plan. And I will look through that plan, and I will be able to tell you about specific actions in the months to come.
So he expanded upon what he said in his first speech a little bit. It would have been nice for a little more detail, but it's understandable. He just got here. He wants to give a broad and comprehensive overview of what he plans to accomplish. Actually, I didn't know this until a little bit ago, but apparently Stony Brook is one of the most diverse colleges or universities in the country. So at least that bodes well for his reputation that he actually does take this seriously and will try and implement some initiatives to make sure that we are inclusive.
I think he has a track record of doing some things, not just giving lip service to diversity at Stony Brook. And at Michigan.
Mm-hmm. And that's exciting because when we first heard him talk about diversity, he wasn't being specific. But now, it's understandable because this was his first day at the university, basically, and I'm excited to see what kind of plans he develops over the next few months before he actually starts being president.
Well, as a Greek-American, I think that bodes well, too, that he's not just another old American.
Right, like he's going to bring the perspective of an outsider, even though he's been here for however many decades. I think that's still really fundamentally important to what he'll bring as a president and what will differentiate him from past presidents we've had and presidents at other universities. And really, this idea of inclusivity, it's not just limited to race. It really was like the buzzword for the day because it seemed that in every topic that he touched on, inclusivity was implied. He really wants to bring everyone together into one united university. And I think a good example of that is his discussion of education. He presented it as kind of a leveling field, something that everybody should have equal access to. We have a clip that I think sets that up pretty well.
Education is the primary vehicle for upward mobility in society. I come from a society where everybody has a right to education. Everybody. And I believe that our society is as strong as its weakest link. Education is crucial to bridge the socioeconomic divides and the racial tensions. Together, we will go very far. And if we aspire to go far, we must go together. So we have a responsibility to keep education affordable and accessible to everybody in the great state of Delaware and the world.
That's a pretty important issue there, the affordability of higher education in America.
That's right. And again, what Abby was saying before about him being an outsider, where he was raised in Greece, education is more of a right than it is in the U.S. And bringing that perspective here is a very valuable thing, I think.
I was honestly surprised to hear him touch upon the cost of education and how it might be prohibitive to some students. I didn't expect him to go in that direction in his first few hours as president, but I'm really happy about that. And I do hope that he actually does effect some change in that realm, because secondary education should be accessible to everyone. It shouldn't be a matter of whether or not you can afford it.
One of the things that I think he did say was he talked about the current University of Delaware commitment to Delawareans, where we're trying to make it so that every Delawarean who is capable is admitted to the university. And I think right now the stats are we admit about 90% of the Delawareans that apply to the university in some way. So I think it's important that he mentions that, sort of a sense of continuity, that that effort's going to continue and perhaps be amplified.
Right. He also mentioned that Delawareans leave UD with only 1 year's tuition in debt, which I didn't know was a thing. That was interesting. I hope I'm getting that right.
We actually have a clip to go along with this discussion.
One cannot continue to increase the cost of tuition and cannot burden the families and the students with unnecessary debt when they graduate. I know the University of Delaware has a very strong commitment to the Delawareans that when they graduate, they would not have any more than 1 year of debt, sort of equivalent to 1 year of tuition, and that's a great start. We want to make sure that we keep it that way. As we continue to search for excellence, excellence is expensive. You know, it costs money. We need resources. How do we generate the resources? We need to be more entrepreneurial. We need to understand that there are limits to the support that the state can provide. There are limits to the tuition we can charge the families and the students. So we have to be able to generate more entrepreneurial academic revenue. It's very possible. Anywhere from discovery that leads to innovation and patents and commercialization and startups to online learning and philanthropic support, the universities are truly able to generate more of the resources that they need on their own.
Here on Campus Voices, we have had some of the students who've been working on spin-in and spin-out projects through the university's Office for Economic Innovation and Partnership. And it sounds like he would welcome that kind of thing, where students are spinning their work out into the community and where the community is spinning their work into the university for students to work on.
Yeah, it sounds like he's definitely open to novel ways of being able to increase money flowing into the university, increase funding, and increasing different ways that we can find to lower tuition for everybody. And I thought it was pretty interesting because he's an engineering guy. He has an engineering background. And I found that throughout his various speeches, it was sort of implied that much of where our money and innovation is going to come from is from the engineering programs and from being a research school. So I feel like he sees the idea of entrepreneurship and our engineering legacy as being very intertwined.
That's right. And I think he emphasized the new STAR campus and the new-ish ICE lab as points where that entrepreneurial spirit can really thrive and engineers can sort of use their interdisciplinary like contacts and develop their ideas in a way that they can, like you said, spin out their ideas and enter the real world with them.
I know that one of the things that they're very proud of up at Stony Brook is he was involved in an initiative that, as they say, and we'll have this up at our website, where they got a grand slam of funding for a whole bunch of different kinds of energy research.
He definitely seems like he's very adept at finding different ways to fund university pursuits through research.
Did you get the sense that as entrepreneurial as he is, did you get a sense that he's going to be more open to a variety of different approaches?
I did get that sense. I got the feeling overall that he's just very passionate about higher education in all facets, and a large part of that is fundraising and being able to find new ways to get money for different pursuits. So I really got the impression that he would try to bring some like new and novel ways to bring money into the university.
And I think he mentioned that in his speech as well.
Beyond our intellectual assets, we have many capital assets. And I would especially highlight the ICE Lab and the STAR Campus. I want to thank specifically President Pat Harker for his vision, his drive, and his energy, who got us where we are today. He truly positioned us to thrive in the world of higher education.
He's talking a lot about engineering and sciences, but our largest college here is the College of Arts and Sciences.
That's right. Right. Yeah.
That's something that I personally was keeping an eye out for because he has an engineering background. It seems easy to just assume that he would devote more time and energy to further developing the engineering side of things, which isn't really fair to the arts and sciences students. I don't think it's a secret that enrollment in arts and sciences has been dwindling across the board, not just here, because students feel like they won't find jobs. So I do think that it is important to stress the importance that the humanities still have. You know, it's not a dying field. Like, you still need to stoke interest in students.
And I think the new president emphasized that because he said that engineering, it can't solve problems on its own. It really needs the humanities to and the arts and the social sciences to sort of assist it, and it gets out there, you know.
I did think it was interesting that he still addressed arts and humanities through an engineering lens, saying that they supplement each other. I thought maybe I would have preferred if he had addressed arts and humanities on their own and really emphasized all that the humanities have to offer outside of engineering and how they can help each other. But I do think that it's still positive that he even...
Well, it's very positive because one of the stereotypes of engineers is that they just go off and solve problems and they forget about the humans. That sounds like the new president, Dennis Asanas, is right in tune with what Dean Ogunike, the dean of the College of Engineering, has been preaching, the whole idea of getting engineers to understand the human element. And that's one of the things that's so cool about President Asanas focusing in on the STAR campus for me, because that's not just one discipline, there's lots of multidisciplinary work going on down there.
Right.
We have a clip where he talks about this, where a student representative from
STN, I believe.
Yeah, they ask a question very directly related to this.
I would love to demonstrate to every single one of those engineers and scientists that they will not succeed in addressing the large challenges in society if they rely on technology and science alone. I already alluded to that in my remarks. I want to make sure that every one of the students in Delaware is touched by general education that features the arts, the humanities, and the social sciences. Those are so central in the development of the spirit and the mind of a student. It's what basically develops creative individuals to enter society. It is what leads to great entrepreneurs. It's what's making responsible citizens to enter the world. So I will absolutely make sure that our undergraduate students, but also our graduate students, have an opportunity to learn and be exposed to the arts, the humanities, and the social sciences. I also like to try to use this as a draw to bring the community into the institution. The Roselle Center for the Arts, I hear, is phenomenal. And I can assure you that this will be my wife's and mine big project. So
that's very interesting to hear that. Mm-hmm. He's really sounds like he, like you'd expect from a Greek, very interested in the culture of the community too, even though we've been talking mostly about entrepreneurship and the engineering background. That's really was good to hear.
That's true. And again, it goes back to him having this sort of outsider status and bringing a different perspective to how the university should be run.
Now, today you attended the announcement in front of the Board of Trustees, and then there was a press event for student press, and then you also attended the press conference with members of the local and regional media.
Yes.
What kind of impression did he really make on you as a man through all these different kinds of situations?
He's very charismatic, and I will say that he seemed very, very comfortable, very in his element the entire time. I would say that the first impression that I got was positive, just through following him to these various meetings. You know, we only saw him for maybe an hour, so that's not a lot of time to really develop a full opinion about someone. But what I did see, I thought was positive.
The hour we did spend with him, after that hour, I definitely felt drained and like a little exhausted. And I wasn't even at the center of it all. He had a lot of energy and composure. And he still had to go do other meetings. Like, he met with graduate students afterwards and with undergraduates even later in the day. So that's, I think that's a good thing.
I was really impressed by two things. I mean, I was in my office watching. I wasn't at the event, but in the middle of the event, he introduced his family and even his future family.
That was funny. That was cute. When he introduced his son's significant other, that was a nice little touch.
So I really got the sense that family's important to him. And you see this little touch of humanity in the first video featuring him that's been released. He and his wife, Elni, end it by shouting.
I haven't seen this video.
Have time.
Yeah.
Go New Hens!
Okay.
And then finally, I mean, again, this is WVUD-centric, but during the student reception, he allowed three of our students to approach him and record a promo.
Yeah, he's very approachable. Actually, some of the social media people approached him for a selfie, and he was very gracious about it, even though he was like in the middle of a media whirlwind. And he even actually took the selfie himself. He like actually held the phone because he was the tallest. I thought that was cool that he even offered. So he seems like a genuinely nice guy.
And while we were at the student press conference, he was asking people in between moving from meeting to meeting, he was trying to ask people what people's majors were and their names. So I thought that was a good sign. Even though there's all this activity going on, he still found a way to try to connect with the students there.
Yeah. We're really excited. Abby Sarfo and Bassam Khatri and me, we're talking about the University of Delaware's 20th president, whose name is Dennis Hassanis, coming to the University of Delaware from Stony Brook University on Long Island. This is not something you all picked up, but I picked up looking, and Bassam, you and I talked about this a little bit in the notes, is that here's a man of science who also has an active faith life.
Right.
Not to make a big deal about it, but it shows that he's open to different perspectives. We've got a man of science, a man of engineering, who also has a faith life.
That's right. He has a very close relationship with the Greek Orthodox Church. In fact, Reverend Father Alex Carlutis, I might not be saying that correctly, but he's at the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese of America, and he's gotten a recommendation. He's given a recommendation of the new president, Hassanis, and he says great things about him, and apparently they have a close relationship, which is an incredible thing, because he's talking about arts and humanities as well as engineering, and he also is a man of faith. So he has a very multifaceted sort of approach, I think.
He's also, I know, involved with a foundation that does mission work overseas. And I'm not trying to turn this into an attempt to proselytize for the Greek Orthodox faith or anything, but to me it's refreshing to see an engineer who is open to other perspectives.
I definitely think that's an interesting aspect of his persona. It would have been interesting if he had touched upon that, even in some small way, because just following him for the afternoon, he really didn't mention that at all. But I'm sure that that'll become more evident with time.
But you know, we're joking about it, but seriously, I've worked at the university now through one, two, three, four presidential transitions, and this is the first president I've heard of with a testimonial from a religious leader.
Really?
Well, one of the other things that's, I think, really important for the president of the University of Delaware is figuring out where the university fits in Delaware, and more specifically in Newark.
Right. I think the relationship between Newark as a city and the university has always sort of been tenuous, where locals don't get along maybe as well with the campus, because they see it as an encroachment sometimes. And I think he wants to address that issue and sort of forge a stronger bond with the community at large. We have a clip where he talks about that, in fact.
I would make a point to visit with the mayor very early on. Hope the mayor was here today. And I want to work with the city council and our own community relations people to understand each other's challenges and opportunities. I truly believe that the University of Delaware is a wonderful opportunity for the city of Newark. There's no doubt in my mind that whether it is real estate or economic development or artistic endeavors, the community wouldn't be what it is today without the richness that the university is adding. So I hope that the community can appreciate that and be engaged. At the same time, we do bring challenges to the community. And I think as long as we all understand each other's needs and responsibilities, we will come always to equitable and long-lasting solutions.
So, Bassam, what would you say the headline is?
It's a tough question to ask.
I can start with Abby if you'd rather.
Sure. I mean, she works for the Review. I think she's better with headlines.
You know what? Headlines are actually my least favorite part, like my least favorite aspect.
So, Abby, what do you think the headline is out of today's events?
I guess I would say that our new president is a chill dude. if I could sum it up, that's about what it is.
Yeah, and I have to say that I appreciate the direction he's going in. He didn't say anything specific, but it's just the first day, and I'm excited to see what kind of plans and things he's going to bring to the table in the next coming months.
That was much more of an intellectual answer than mine, I must say.
I mean, I also think he's a chill dude, so.
I mean, just go with how you feel on the inside.
There's nothing the matter with having the next president of the University of Delaware, Dennis Asanas, be a chill dude.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Bassam, and thank you, Abby.
Thank you.
Thank you, Richard.
Thanks for listening to Campus Voices, a collaboration between WVUD, the broadcast voice of the University of Delaware, and UD Information Technologies. The views expressed on this program are those of the individual guests and do not necessarily reflect the official views or policies of WVUD, UD Information Technologies, or the University of Delaware. For more information about Campus Voices and to find archive copies of this and other episodes, visit our website. Using all lowercase letters, go to www.udel.edu/campusvoices. We invite you to tune in every Thursday morning at 8:30 for Campus Voices on 91.3 FM, WVUD, and WVUD HD1, Newark, or online at wvud.org.
Hi, I'm Dennis Asanis. I'm the 28th president of UD, and I'm tuning in to WVUD.
You are listening to WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark, listener-supported radio from the University of Delaware.